Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Bill Welsh guides us through the New Testament book of Acts. Now to Pastor Bill.
Hi, this is Pastor Bill, and I want to welcome you back to our study through the book of Acts. Now, if I was going to give a title to this chapter, I would have to call it Sailing into Trouble. You see, the pace picks up here in chapter 20, and Paul is possibly feeling a new sense of urgency. Maybe he believes that time is running out. Most likely, it's just the Holy Spirit nudging him on. But this man on a mission seems more determined than ever to both reach more Jews and Gentiles for Christ, as well as to strengthen, we would say, to disciple those who were already reached. So in verses 1 to 5, we see Paul working his way through Macedonia and then south into Greece for 3 months until yet another plot to kill him is launched. I mean, won't they ever leave this guy alone? Well, watch how quickly he moves from town to town. And now he has a team of 7 guys with him. You can look at their names there in verse 4, and you'll probably recognize some of them. But one of the more humorous stories in the book of Acts is here in verses 6 to 12, where Paul has a bit of a disruption during a very long Bible study that he's been delivering. It happens to me all the time with less dramatic details, and it's really no big deal when it happens, but a young man falls asleep. It happens in every service, I'm sure. This guy's name, we get his name, is Eutychus, and he falls asleep. So what's the problem? Well, nothing, if only Eutychus had not been sitting on the windowsill of an upstairs window. So when he falls asleep, he plummets to the pavement below, and they go down to help him, and he's dead. Okay, now that's a problem. By the way, his name Eutychus, it actually means fortunate. Yeah, right. It didn't look fortunate for a while, but it turns out that he's very fortunate, because Paul just goes down and raises him from the dead. Simple. He's back to life. And then here's the part that I love. Paul goes back upstairs and keeps preaching. He says, "Now where was I when Mr. Fortunate so rudely interrupted me?" This was Paul's last opportunity to build up this church in Troas, and that's what this long message is all about. So it was back to the book. Read it for yourself there in verse 11. It reads like this. When Paul had gone up and broken bread and eaten, he conversed with them a long time until daybreak. Oh, I'd love to have the notes from that evening of Paul pouring out his heart to this church that he loved so much. But maybe we have a record of something like what he told them in the next section in this same chapter. Because after leaving the Troas crowd behind, Paul makes his way to the coastal town of Miletus, which is not far from Ephesus, where he calls for the elders of the church in Ephesus to meet him so that he can bid them farewell from there, right down by the beach. I think he knew if he went to Ephesus, he'd spend too long there, so he calls the leaders of the church in Ephesus to him. Now, this scene in verses 17 to 38 is one of the most moving sermons or farewell addresses you will ever read. I suggest you read it 3 times at least. Once quickly to get the pace and feel for the content of it and the emotion of it, and then read it again slowly and imagine you're the listener hearing your pastor speak these words to you, the one who led you to Christ is telling you that he's leaving. And then read it a 3rd time again slowly and aloud as if you were delivering this heartfelt message to your friends and your family on your departure. If something in this talk doesn't touch you, then read it again until it does, and dwell on the heart of Paul that really pours into every word here. He reminds them of how the ministry in Ephesus started. He reminds them of his humility and even tears and trials and painful experiences which were a part of the planting of that remarkable church. He tells them that he knows he is sailing into a storm as he heads for Jerusalem, and that the Holy Spirit confirms that everywhere along the way. He takes comfort in knowing that he has delivered to them the whole counsel of God. And then Paul informs this group of dear friends that somehow he knows that this will be the last time they see him alive. He also warns them in verse 29 that after he disappears over that horizon, fierce wolves will come in among them, not sparing the flock. The battle will continue for them, in other words, and Paul tells these leaders of the church from Ephesus that they must continue to guard, to watch out for this beautiful flock of God's wonderful people. And Paul had poured 3 years of his life into building up a healthy, thriving ministry in Ephesus that had reached into that whole Asia Minor peninsula there. And so he reminds them that he had not come for their silver and their gold or their garments. He'd come to build up their souls. He hadn't come to take anything from them like so many preachers today, but he had actually worked with his own hands to support himself as well as his co-workers. And then he kneels down on the shores of Miletus and he prays with them all. Well, the end of Paul's message was a real tearjerker, literally. Look at verses 37 to 38. It reads like this, quote, "There was much weeping on the part of all, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again," end quote. And then he was gone. Why would Paul leave a church that loved him so much, where there's so much fruitful ministry, and run straight into trouble? Was he, as some insisted, a madman? No, he's not mad. He's not crazy. He's not insane. Paul was simply sold out to the cause of Christ. He knew what we all need to be reminded of, that we're all on limited time. The sand is running through the hourglass for all of us. We will all die one way or another. Something will get all of us. I don't enjoy that truth, but I know it's true, and so did Paul. And as the crowd listening to Paul is begging him not to go to Jerusalem, listen to the key verse of chapter 20. It's verse 24. He's just told them that he's going to Jerusalem constrained by the Holy Spirit, not knowing exactly what will happen there other than imprisonment and afflictions. I mean, that would have been enough to make me want to catch a ship to Tarshish, like Jonah did, to run as far as I could from the trouble. But Paul says this in verse 24, "But I do not count my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Other translations add this at the beginning of that verse. After Paul says, "I know that I will be imprisoned and afflicted," that he says this, "But none of these things move me." In other words, none of these things take me off of my course. Oh, may Jesus Christ fill us with that same resolve and focus and courage and faith to believe that even affliction and confinement will somehow fulfill God's purposes in our lives. Well, it's your turn now. Read this chapter and take some time to seek God's will for you personally, and then let nothing move you until that will for your life is accomplished. Well, grace and peace on you as you seek God's will and as you follow His Son, Jesus Christ. Have a wonderful study in this great 20th chapter. God bless you.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free and free to share, so tell your friends and take the journey together. Bill Welsh is the senior pastor of Refuge in Huntington Beach, California. You can find information and links for all of our teachers on the website. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.